Remind me what book we're in. Revelation. Who owns it? Jesus. It's not the revelation of John the Baptist. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's right. Who wrote it? God wrote it. What did He do with it? God the Father wrote it. What did He do with it? He gave it to God the Son. What did the Son do with it? He gave it to the angel. What did the angel do with it? He gave it to John. What did he do with it? He gave it to us. That's exactly right. How many revelations are there?
One.
How many themes? Give me one of them. We're going to adore His person. We'll plan on doing that today, adoring His person. We're going to see if we can see Him today. What's the other theme? Accept His plan. I'm going to go ahead and accept it right now. I don't even know what all it says, and I'm just going to accept it. I accept the plan. Okay, chapter are we in? 12 is right. That's correct. I think we finished 11. You might not know that. A lot of times I go back and I make so many mistakes. Last week I was talking about Revelation 4, 5, and 6, and I said verses. I meant chapters. But I'm always doing stuff like that. Let's look at verse 12 or chapter 12 here. Revelation 12, see if we can get started. It says, and there was a great wonder in heaven. A woman. Let's go ahead and tell you, it's a wonder if a woman gets to heaven. Now you men, back me up. I feel like the Lone Ranger up here. Could somebody say amen? I'm telling you, it's a wonder if a woman gets to heaven. Men, let's try this. Ladies, it's your turn. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's a wonder if a man gets to heaven. That's a little more like, it's a wonder if a human gets there. It's a miracle if a he-man gets there. It's a miracle if a woman gets there. If anybody gets in, it's a miracle. But I want to go ahead and tell you, He made sure you could. He made sure of it. You can go ahead and start thanking Him anytime you want to. But He made sure you can get it. Now, I took all that out of context. That woman there, I'll just go ahead and tell you, that woman's Israel. We'll see as we go down through the chapter. While we're on this foolishness, I'll go ahead and tell you that y'all pray for Sister Kim. I think she's getting Alzheimer's. She can't remember what she saw in me. Verses 1 through 5. Let me read just a little bit more here. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun upon her, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head was a crown of 12 stars, and she bearing a child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon. The first 5 verses are the dragon's hatred for the woman in the past. Let me just go ahead and finish it while I'm into it. Having 7 heads, this is the dragon, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. If Israel's the woman, and it is, then the child is Jesus, the man-child. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. Now let's look again here about this woman being Israel. You see it in, I know we've used a lot of times the moon as a picture of the church, but remember, we're in heaven now. Let's look at something in Genesis 37:9. And he, Joseph, dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. So the woman is Israel. And we'll see more down through here. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. I get so selfish many times and self-centered, and I think it's all about me. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Capital W, Wonderful, that Sister Cheryl was singing about. The Counselor, Big C Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You see the throne of David, but then verse 8, the Lord shall send a word into Jacob, and it shall be lighted upon Israel. Unto us is Israel, right here. Unto us is Israel. It's not to Brother Rick, really. It's not to the church, really. It's to Israel right here. It is to us in the end, but when it was written down, us is Israel right here. And I'm indebted to Israel. I owe Israel a lot. I'm indebted to them for a Savior and for the Scriptures. We're indebted to them. Unto us, Micah. Micah 5:2. Matthew 1, back up one page. Micah 5:2. I'm sorry, Micah, not Malachi. Back up a few more pages. Micah 5:2. And thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was born out of eternity. This is the man-child that the woman's getting ready to have here. And this, really, these verses right here are a history lesson. We're seeing some, everything's not in order, really. There's four women in the book of Revelation. We see the first one right here in chapter 12. It's the suffering woman of Israel. In 17, we're going to see the bloody harlot of religion. In 18, we're going to see the arrogant queen of the economy. Economic Babylon is who it's going to be. And then in chapter 19, we're going to see the pure bride. She's been getting ready since chapter 4, since we went up. She's been preparing herself for this day. And you better be prepared before chapter 4, verse 1, or you won't be part of the pure bride. Now, this dragon, it had seven heads. Let's look at it in Ezekiel. Well, really, in Ezekiel, let's look at it, 38:12. We saw the other day how the Lord's going to take care of Israel, fight against Russia. He pulls Russia down for His purposes, and then He fights against Russia. Ezekiel 38:22, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I'll rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones and fire and brimstone. The Lord is going to take care of the woman. The Lord's going to take care of her. And as far as the dragon goes, let's look at Job. Job, let me ask you a question. We started last week in the Great Tribulation. If you could give me one man that went through Great Tribulation in the Bible, who would it be? Job. Let's look at it, chapter 41. How many chapters are in Job? 42 is correct. How many months in the Great Tribulation? 42 is right. We saw it last week. Okay, chapter 41, we see this great dragon. Now, you might want to think about a dinosaur as we read these verses. I was wanting to read the whole chapter, but I spared you. The reason the word dinosaur is not in the Bible, the word dinosaur wasn't invented until the 1800s. The Bible calls it a great dragon, but evidently there were dinosaurs, it looks like. And this dragon is like a big bad brother-in-law. I mean, he's mean, And nobody on earth can stand against him. You need God's help to stand against the red dragon. I can't stand against him alone. You can't. We need the Lord. Just a glimpse here in verse 1 says, "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook?" You're going to catch him on a fishing pole with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down. You're going to put him on the stringer? Is that what you're going to do, huh? No, he's big. Look at verse 10. It says, "There's none so fierce." And verse 11 says, "Under the whole heaven." I'm talking about on earth. There's none as bad as this big, bad red dragon. And you can't fight against him on your own. You need God's help. Verse 25, the mighty are afraid. Verse 26, the sword of him on earth. No sword on earth of him cannot lay hold. Verse 27, to the big red dragon, iron is like straw. Brass is like rotten wood. You can't handle it. Darts are counted as stubble. He laughs at the shaking of a spear. Verse 33, upon earth there's not his like who is made without fear. Verse 34, he beholdeth all the high things. He is the king over all the children of pride. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 26. Right at the end of it there, the last two verses. Isaiah 26 describes the tribulation period that we're in, or that we're studying about. "Come, my people, enter that." It's my people. Remember, God's flailing the sin out of unbelievers. "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed." See, God's mad. He's pouring out his wrath, indignation on earth, on Christ rejectors, till the indignation be overpassed. "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan." Now, this is different. This is not a sword on earth. The Lord's getting ready to pull his sword out. It's a different story now. This is different. And he's going to show Leviathan who's who. The piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. The sore, I checked out that sore. It means a rough sword, a hard sword, a heavy sword, a severe sword, a fierce sword, and it's for someone that's in trouble, is what it is. You get a picture of it in Revelation 1:16. Revelation 1:16, "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Don't forget we're talking about that two-edged sword in Hebrews. Don't forget we're talking about that sword of the Spirit in Ephesians. Capital S Spirit. Not a regular old sword now. It's a sore and great and mighty sword that the Lord has in heaven. You see it in chapter 2, verse 12, Revelation 2:12. "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write these things, saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges." Verse 16, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." Chapter 19, verse 15, we're going to see it. The sword of the Lord. Not like on earth. Different than that. This is God. Chapter 19, verse 15. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. It's a sore and mighty sword. Chapter 19, verse 21. "And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." He's going to defeat Leviathan with the word of his mouth, the sword of his mouth. It won't be no problem to him. He can do it with both hands tied behind his back. He's going to take care of him. Starting verse 6, the rest of the chapter is the dragon's hatred for Israel in the future. In the future. Galatians 3:16. The dragon could not kill the man-child, although he tried. Now he hates the one that brought him forth, that delivered him. Galatians 3:16, and he hates you and he hates me. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That's who the dragon hates. But he couldn't get him, can't get him, so he's going after the woman that bare him. Back to Revelation 12:7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought with the angels. He wars against Michael. The enemy's cast out of heaven. Again, this is a history lesson, a review of things that have happened. He casts him out into the air. He's the prince and power of the air. He's on the earth. He's in the abyss. Some of the angels, you remember just recently, we saw are chained in hell. Some are unchained, running around, but the devil's kicked out. Then verse 8, starting in verse 8, we see, guess what? Michael wins. And prevailed not. The dragon fought against Michael and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Verse 11, they is our brethren in verse 12. It's not the brethren, it's our brethren in verse 12. That's they. And they, our brethren, overcame him, the accuser of the brethren, the great red dragon. And the way they did it is by the blood of the Lamb. Like we said a while ago when we were out of context, God made sure that a man could get in and that a woman could get in, a child, man, woman, boy, girl, child. He made a way. God made sure of it. And right here it's how. They, our brethren, overcame him, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They, the overcomers. Brother R.C. got us started on that the other night. And yes, Brother R.C., I do type out verses a lot of times. They're on the back of your hand out there. The overcomer, we saw it in 1 John 5:5. Who is the overcomer? Remind me. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Any overcomers in here? That's how you're going to overcome, is through him. You can't do it by yourself. It's through him. We saw it in Revelation 2:7, overcomers, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, is going to eat of the tree of life. In 2:17, he's going to eat of the hidden manna. This is whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. He's going to get a white stone, he's going to get a new name. Talking about overcomers. In chapter 2, verse 26, the overcomers given power over the nations. In chapter 3, we just saw this not long ago. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Son of God gets a white raiment, and God will not blot his name out of the book of life, but he'll confess him. In chapter 3, verse 12, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Son of God will be made a pillar, go no more out. See, Eden had a way out and no way in. Heaven has a way in, no way out. Once you get, don't go if you don't want to go because you're not getting out. There's no getting out. And you'll get the name of God written on you. And it's 3:12. And upon him, my new name. You'll get tattooed. Chapter 3, verse 21. Overcomers. That's those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Anybody like that in here? couple. Okay, they get a sit in my throne, is what it says right there. And they get a sit down with my Father in His throne. That's in chapter 3. Yeah. Chapter 21, overcomers inherit. That's everybody that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah. They inherit all things, and they're with His God. He's our God, and we're His Son. That's chapter 21. Now let's look at the blood. The overcomers, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. Matthew 26:28, it's my blood. God says it's my blood. He said, for this is my blood, in the New Testament, red letters, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. My blood, but it's for many. It's for our brother. He was making sure that you had a way to get in, is what it was. Verse Acts 20:28, it's with His own blood. God bought us with His own blood. He made sure you could get in, and it's with His own blood, but we're the ones that get to go in. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He's making a way for overcomers to get in. Woe men, he men, humans, so we can get in. Chapter 5, verse 9, Revelation. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. Yeah. It's His blood. I didn't do anything. He did it. He did it. The song says the half hadn't been told. This world can't contain just how good He is, how unworthy I am. Oh, praise His dear name. All that I heard and all that I know doesn't compare or even come close. The half hadn't been told. The blood, talking about Thy blood, Revelation 7:14. The blood of the Lamb. That's how the overcomers come in. That's how they get in. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. It's your conscience. It's His blood. From dead works to serve the living God. Sometimes conscience means soul. Sometimes it does. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood. It's precious because there's only one. That's all the God's blood there ever has been. That's all there's ever going to be. One blood. That's how the overcomers got in. They overcame the red dragon by the blood of the Lamb. That's how they did it. The precious blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. It wasn't my blood. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It wasn't my blood. It was His blood. And they, our brethren, overcame him, the red dragon, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. The word of the testimony. Okay, 12 and 13 now. Therefore rejoice. I said rejoice and they're not rejoicing. That's what Floyd said. Floyd said, I said rejoice, they're not rejoicing. Therefore rejoice, ye heaven, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of earth and of the sea, for the devils come out unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. His wrath against Israel. The red dragon's wrath is like Hitler's wrath on steroids, like a souped up Hitler. But he cannot touch the child, so he goes after the woman that delivered her. It's just facts of history. It's been that way ever since God wrote it down. He attacks the woman that delivered. Even England, who was a long-time refuge of the downtrodden, hated and expelled the Jews 1,000 years ago. Canute did it. Yep. Canute. France and England blamed Israel for the Black Plague. In 1894, France made the Jews a scapegoat for the national problem in the Dreyfus Fund. And the world's saying, peace, peace, but there'll be no peace till the Prince of Peace comes. The devil's going to make sure of it. He hates you and he hates me. He's a murderer and a liar. There was a peace conference in session in Holland when World War I began, and it's just a miracle that the delegates got home and didn't get bombed. There'll be no peace. The red dragon hates the woman. He made slaves out of her. Exodus 1:22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Chapter 2, 9 and 10. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I'll give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. She said, "Because I drew him out of the water." The devil made a slave out of them. God's protecting them. In Exodus 14, the devil tries to drown the woman. Exodus 14, 9 and 10. But the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and the army overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Phareroth, before Baal Zephron. Where's Dennis when you need him? And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you." Yeah. On earth, you better depend on Him. You can't do it. "Ye shall hold your peace." 26, verse 26. "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which God did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." The devil, the dragon, tried to starve them in chapter 16, verse 3. "And the children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Verse 13. "And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp." Now, the way I understand it, quail, like pheasant, is a delicacy. You know, pheasant under glass. Not dealing with the ordinary here. God's taking care of them. "And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was going up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." I don't know about you, but I love bread. It's my downfall. And this sounds like sweet bread. "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents, And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they did it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Got to get a witness right there on the no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. The red dragon tried to curse the woman in Numbers 23. Verse 3. I'm sorry. 23:7. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. 24. Chapter 24. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times. Balaam has repented, it appears like, to seek for enchantments. He didn't go to the witches, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in the tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the capital A Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are the tents of Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of line aloes, which the Lord hath planted, as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He coucheth as he lay down, as a lion, as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee. Cursed is he that curseth thee. In Esther 5:14, the red dragon tried to hang the woman. Esther. She's in here somewhere. Esther 5:14. Esther 5:14, then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. Tomorrow speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet, and the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Chapter 7, verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. In Daniel, the dragon tries to burn the woman, and you know she gets delivered. In Daniel, the dragon tries to devour the woman, and you know she gets out of the lion's den. And we're going to have to quit there for today. Dear Heavenly Father, you're great. You don't just take care of the woman, Israel. You take care of us. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.